grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, the first verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The gospel, which has always been read on this first Sunday in Lent, tells of our Savior's 40-day fast in the wilderness and of his temptation by Satan. In the Church's litany, which we'll pray at all our Wednesday evening Lenten services, we make the petition, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, good Lord, deliver us. Crafts, in the sense of craftiness, cunning, deceit, treachery, and guile. And in the litany, we also pray that God in his mercy would beat down Satan under our feet. I doubt that anyone needs to be told how timely these petitions of the litany are. How timely, too, are some words that were written 50 years ago by one of my teachers in seminary, a person whose memory I cherish and have always regarded as a true father in God. Writing 50 years ago, he speaks of the present time as being one in which we are uncomfortably aware of a drift toward the demonic, a list toward non-being, a flight from integrity toward disintegration, and a thrust toward undisguised nihilism, a drift toward the demonic, a list toward non-being, a flight from integrity toward disintegration, and a thrust toward undisguised nihilism. In all of this, we see the face of evil. We see the unmistakable work of all the powers of darkness led by their prince, the old evil foe, Satan, the ancient enemy of God and man. Now, when in the litany we pray, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, good Lord, deliver us, we are but echoing that prayer which our Savior himself taught us to pray, because the last of its seven petitions is the prayer, but deliver us from evil. But when we look at that petition in the original language, we see that what that petition literally says is, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. To his enemies, the Lord Jesus said this, "You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." A murderer, a liar, and the father of lies, and he tirelessly seeks to enlist human beings in his malign purpose. As a murderer, Satan takes delight in sowing seeds of conflict and hatred in an effort to destroy all the goodness God has made or to pervert what God has made into something that is vile and contrary to God's truly loving purpose. And worst of all, as a murderer, he constantly tries to separate us from God, who is the source of life. He tries to kill the life of God in us. As a liar, Satan takes delight in damaging the gift of speech, that wonderful gift intended by God to be used to his praise and glory, and to make it possible for human beings to come together in love. As the father of lies, he tempts us to misuse that precious gift of speech for the purpose of deception and confusion and selfish ambition. No wonder we pray from the crafts and assaults of the devil, "Good Lord, deliver us." Now, our Lord himself was subjected to the crafts and assaults of the devil, not only during his temptation in the wilderness, but throughout his earthly life. When King Herod tried to destroy the Christ child, he was Satan's willing tool. And it was Satan who prompted the enraged people in the synagogue at Nazareth to try to destroy the Savior by casting him down from the hill on which their city stood. And it was Satan who was behind all the opposition to the Lord of love. It was Satan who prompted Judas to betray him, and Caiaphas and Pilate to condemn him, and it was Satan who prompted the enraged mob to cry out for his death, and the hapless Roman soldiers to nail him to the cross. But Satan's purpose did not stand. In the Old Testament lesson this morning, we heard of how after Satan had caused the fall of our first parents, the Lord God said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. On Calvary's cross, the seed of the woman triumphed and crushed the serpent's head. Satan was defeated. For it is only sin that can separate us from our Maker. But through his death, the Lord Christ has taken away the sins of the whole world. All that needed to be done has been done. St. Paul wrote, "The sting of death is sin." And with sin atoned for, with sin forgiven, death has been robbed of its sting, and Satan has completely lost his power to accuse the blood-bought children of God. I love some words of that great 17th century poet and preacher, John Donne, who said this: "Against this accusation of the devil, there is no other medicine but the blood of Christ. And therefore, whensoever this apprehension of God's future judgment bites you, be sure to present to it the blood of your Savior. Never consider God's judgment for sin alone, but rather in company with the blood of Christ. It is but the hissing of the serpent, the whispering of Satan. When he surprises you in a melancholy midnight of dejection of spirit and lays your sins before you, look not on your sins so inseparably that you cannot see Christ, to come not to confession to God without consideration of the promises of the gospel." In this fallen world, Satan continues to wreak havoc. In the very last book of Holy Scripture, the book of Revelation, St. John warns us that Satan has come down in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. But God sets limits to Satan's murdering and lying. And when the risen Lord appears in glory, that murdering and lying will come to a final end, and then, as St. John declares, God will wipe away every tear, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And that will be God's final, decisive answer to our prayer from the crafts and assaults of the devil. Good Lord, deliver us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.